Here on Wednesday night, on a rainy night. You could have easily said, that's just too much trouble to get out, but you didn't let some rain keep you away from assembling with God's people and spending some time in His Word, and I feel a great sense of responsibility. Because I know that some of you, it's been an effort for you to get here. I know sometimes Wednesday night's a tough time for some people getting away from work, getting a bite to eat and getting down here. You're in a rush. Some of you are here and you didn't get supper tonight. You're going to have to wait till after this is over for you to get supper. So I understand that you've made some effort to be here, and I appreciate the fact that you're here. I appreciate the invitation to be with you folks tonight, and I'm also excited about the theme for your series this summer on the family, and I'm very excited to be given the opportunity to talk to you tonight about fathers in family. Now, I know that even the word family means different things to different people as far as the feelings that it brings, the experiences that you have had in your family. And I know that the word father means different things to different people based on the relationship that you had with your father. And I know that a lot of the people that are listening tonight are ladies, never have been, never will be fathers, but you had a father, and so the father relationship is something that's very important to you, but especially to you men tonight, to those of you who are fathers or may be fathers someday, I hope that it's your desire to be the very best Christian father that you can possibly be. Now, you're not going to be a perfect father. You didn't have a perfect father. You will not be a perfect father. But I hope you want to. And I hope you want to do the very best that you can to do the job that God has given fathers to do. Now, I know that for some of you, the father relationship has not been the best, because there are some father-child relationships that are strained, some of them that have brought pain instead of fulfillment. And if you did not have a godly Christian father, or even if you had a father that maybe even was a churchgoer, but he didn't let his faith live itself out in the way that he actually acted at home and in his relationship with you, I want you to understand, you deserved better than that. Every child deserves to have a Christian father who is trying his best to serve God and to serve his family and to be the kind of guide and protector and teacher that God has said that a father should be. And if you didn't get that, you didn't get what you should have gotten. And I'm sorry about that. But I want you to remember that you cannot change the type of father that you had or that you have. You can't make your father's choices about the way that he is going to relate to his children. But you, men, can decide what kind of father that you are going to be to your children. And I know that the relationship that we had with our father, the model that we have in our father, makes a big difference, makes a big impact. And the good things that you saw in your father, even if you had a strained relationship, there were some good things there as well, I'm sure. The good things that you can see, you want to put those into practice. But the bad things that you saw, you don't have to repeat those things. But for me, and I can only speak from my own perspective, I had a wonderful father. You see, my dad, before I was born, decided to give his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he and my mother were already committed to God and to one another before I ever showed up in this world. So from day one, I was blessed. And I wish every child in the world could be so blessed as I was, to have a good, godly Christian father. And I think for all of us, no matter who our fathers are or were, then as time goes on, we begin to see some of those traits in us. And I want to read you the lyrics to a song that was popular back in the late 80s, early 90s by a singer named Paul Overstreet. And this song came out not long after my dad passed away. My dad's been gone for soon be 22 years now. It's been a long time since I've seen him. But this song came out, and it really made me think a lot of my dad, and maybe you can see some application to your own self as well. The title is Seeing My Father in Me. Last night we brought the children by to visit their grandpa, and it's plain to see they're truly part of him. While we were there, their grandma took out some old photographs. Man, he sure looked a lot like me back then. I'm seeing my father in me. I guess that's how it's meant to be. And I find I'm more and more like him each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father in me. And today I took my wife for a walk down that old dirt road where my daddy took my mom so many times. And we found the time to mention things we never had before, and we shared some thoughts about the family line. Yeah, I'm seeing my father in me. I guess that's how it's meant to be, and I find I'm more and more like him each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks, and I'm starting to see my father in me. And now looking back, I can recall the times we disagreed when I could not take hold of his old-fashioned ways. And the more I tried to prove him wrong, the more I proved him right. Now I know why he still stood by me when I went through that stage. I'm seeing my father in me. I guess that's how it's meant to be, and I find him more and more like him each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father in me. And the last line is just a little tag at the end. He says, and I'm happy to see my father in me. Now, most of us at any point in our lives, even ladies, many times can even see some qualities of their dads that may show up in them, but especially us guys. We're going to see some of our dad in us. But I want to ask those of you who are fathers, if your children at some time in their lives start recognizing this and they say, wow, I'm seeing my father in me, will they be able to say, as the last line of this song says, and I'm happy to see my father in me? Let's decide that that's what we want. And let's go to the Word of God to see what God says. Now, there's several aspects of what God wants a father to be. But there's only one that I think we have time to really focus on tonight. And that's the role of teacher-trainer. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's read verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now that's a short statement, but it's a huge job. And notice the job is given to fathers specifically. Now, does that mean that mothers don't train and nurture their children in the ways of the Lord? Of course not. Mothers have a huge role in their children's lives and training them to be the kind of people that God would have them to be. But it's interesting that here and in other places in Scriptures, we find that this specific role is given to fathers. Now, an interesting study came out several years ago. A study was done about the religious beliefs and practices of children in relationship to their parents and their beliefs and practices. And this was done over a wide variety of religious groups. But the study found, and what it compared is, okay, how does the devotion and the commitment and the involvement of parents affect whether or not that child is also going to be active and involved in the beliefs that their parents had? And naturally, the greatest percentage of involvement in the children happened when both mother and father were serious about their faith and that were active and involved in church. But the study also compared, okay, what if it's just the mom that's active and involved? Or what if it's just the dad that's active and involved? The study showed that the percentages were significantly higher if it was just a single parent involved, if it was the father, as opposed to the mother. Now, I think that says what God understands and why God gives this role in a specific way to fathers, that the spiritual beliefs and practices of fathers are a bigger influence on their children even than mothers. Now, no, we're not discounting mothers at all, and I know there are probably many of you here tonight who are faithful Christians, even though maybe your father wasn't, because your mother was strong enough to be faithful on her own. But what dad does and what dad believes and the way that dad approaches his faith has a huge impact on children. And that's why God says to us, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't be so harsh on them that it's just going to frustrate them and make them upset all the time, or set rules that are so difficult to measure up to that there's going to be nothing but frustration. That's not what we're supposed to do. But what we are supposed to do is to bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. That means, Dad, you're a teacher. Now, you may not have ever gone to college and got an education degree. You may not even have ever stood in front of a classroom, but Dad, you are a teacher, and you are teaching something. But it goes beyond just being a teacher. You are a trainer. Now, you probably have experienced in your own life a situation where if you just listened to someone in a classroom that imparted knowledge, imparted information to you, that was one thing, that you could take that and maybe do something with it. But if your instructor went beyond just being an imparter of information, but that instructor was also a trainer that was with you in circumstances where you needed to put this into practice and would show you, not just tell you, but show you how you needed to do these things, then you're going to be a lot more likely to be able to really put those things into practice. Well, fathers are to train their children, not just tell them about God. But we do have to tell them first. And we need to tell them as often as we possibly can. Now turn with me back to the Old Testament and let's see how God instructed the people of the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you've heard any lessons on the family, this is one that's very familiar. I think most of us know it well, but sometimes making that jump from knowing to doing can be a challenging thing. God said, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." See, that's where it starts. You can't teach something that's not already there. And it needs to go beyond just from being in your head of knowledge of facts for it to being in your heart, where they see that it makes a difference in your life. "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Why is that? Why is it not enough for just the words to be in my heart? Why do I have to actually open my mouth and start telling my kids about what God said? It's because just because you know it does not necessarily mean that your kids are going to know it. And we may assume too much about what we think our children know. They're not going to know unless we tell them. Now, my dad taught me a lot of things. But one of the things he really didn't teach me as much as he knew about, and that was about fixing cars. Now, he was able to do quite a few things, but I for some reason I just didn't take a particular interest when Dad was out there tinkering with the car. And he never just said, "Son, come here, I'm going to show you, and I want you to look and see how this is done." Now, thankfully, he taught me about the most important things, and if he had to miss out on something, I'd rather be cars than a relationship with the Lord. But just because my dad knew about how to fix a car did not necessarily mean I was going to turn out to know how to fix a car. And I tell you, when I went off to college, if you'd have raised the hood of a car, put a gun to my head, and said, "Show me the carburetor," I probably would have lost my life. But dads, just because we know these things about God and about God's Word does not mean that our children do. And it doesn't mean that our job is done when we take them to church. I'm going to say that again, dads. It does not mean our job is done when we take them to church. The Bible does not say, "Preachers, raise your children. Raise everybody else's children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It doesn't say, "Fathers, take your children to the Bible class so that the Bible teacher can train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It doesn't say, "Fathers, send your kid to youth group activities so that the youth minister can train them in the instruction and admonition of the Lord." Now, all of those things are good. And as a father, I have wanted help from every possible source I can get it. And so I wanted my kids to be in Bible class. I wanted my kids to be at youth group activities. I wanted them to hear the truth from every possible source. But the job is not mine to transfer to somebody else. The job is mine. And so when he says this to the Jews to teach their children, he says, "You shall teach them diligently." Not just a time or two. Not just on a couple of occasions, let's sit down and have a talk about God, and isn't it time for you to be baptized, and here's what you need to do to be baptized, and that's your extent of your instruction to them about God. "Teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." That means we take advantage of every possible opportunity that we have to try to pass the faith down to our children. Now, I know we cannot make our children have faith. But dads, the way that we teach our children and the kind of training that we do in that teaching will make a huge difference in whether or not they choose to have faith in God. We've got to talk about God at home. We've got to talk about God at home. I remember one time talking to a preacher's daughter, was an adult, a little older than me. But she said when she was growing up around her house, everything was always church, church, church. And we go, when it's time to go, we go to church. And yes, we participate in church activities and everything was church. But she said we never talked about God at home. And the extent of anything spiritual we did in our home was saying the blessing before we ate, and we did that, but that was it. And Dad would go off to his study to prepare for his sermons, and we knew Dad was in there reading his Bible. I want to suggest to you that that's not enough. Dad, your children will decide how real Christianity is for their lives by how you act at home and the things you bring to reality in the reality of day-to-day life at home. Now, I'm telling you, if you don't talk about God at home and if you don't bring the Bible and spiritual things into your house, then here's what you're teaching your children. Now, you're teaching them one way or the other, but here's what you're teaching your children. You're teaching them that God is for church. And when we come into this place and when we come into these walls, man, we sing about God and we read the Bible and there's some important doctrines for us to learn and we need to make sure we believe the right things about all that. But when we leave here, We shut it off. And God's for times like this. And if they don't see you putting spiritual principles into practice in your life and making it real by the things that you talk about, then you're teaching your children that God is not for real life. But on the opposite side of that coin, when you have the Word of God in your heart and you teach that Word diligently to your children in every opportunity that you have, then they'll realize that faith is real to Dad, and that'll make an impact. It's not a guarantee that your children will have faith, but it'll make a huge impact. And they'll say, this is for real life. My dad was like that. Now, I lived with the man, and I saw the way that he acted at home. And I sat at his feet, and I listened. He was a preacher also. I grew up in the congregation where he was the preacher, listening to his preaching. But I can tell you that what he said from that pulpit was what he tried his best to live in his life. And I watched him. And he really believed that the Bible was for real life. Let me show you one of the ways that he did that. Every morning. Now, I know when I was a little small child, even before I could remember, they would read me Bible stories and that sort of thing. But I know I can remember from school days, it was a habit in our household. Every morning, we got up a little bit earlier than what we would have had to have gotten up. And we got dressed and we had breakfast. And at least 10 minutes before time to go to school, we sat down and we had a family devotional. And most of the time, my growing up, we used that little Power for Today booklet. So that booklet's still around, comes out on a regular basis. But I remember we used Power for Today, and there'd be a scripture to read, and there'd be some comments about it, and even a suggested song. And we would read from the Bible. And we would talk about what this meant. And we would even sing a song together. And we would pray. Now, if you asked me to, okay, tell me about what one of those family devotionals consisted of and what particular things you talked about, I'll have to tell you, I probably can't remember any specific one. But I know those things got in. And I know that what it taught me was priorities. That God is first in our day. We give Him the first and best of our day in our house. And it wasn't just restricted to family devotional time. Dad and my mom as well, they would look for teachable moments. And for the children of Israel, he says, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, look for those times. I remember we had a garden every summer. There was a member of the church he was elderly and couldn't use his garden spot, and so he let us come and work in the garden. Boy, I dreaded those hot summer times. And being out in that garden, trying to pull weeds with the hoe in hand and picking butter beans. I hated picking butter beans because they were so, you had to make sure they were filled out enough, and you had to bend over with those little small bushes, and I'd be usually complaining a little bit. But I remember my dad would find lessons about life and things about God in the garden. Things like sowing and reaping. You can reap what you sow. You got to make sure the weeds are kept out of your life because they'll get in and take over. Things like that. And he related it to God's Word, to God, to spiritual things. And I used to laugh at him and say, okay, what kind of life lesson are we going to get out of butter beans today, Dad? But he was doing exactly what God told him to do. And I was learning. And I'm very glad that he did. Because so much, I believe, of what I understand about Christianity and its reality is because I saw my father And his faith was real, not just in the church, but at home. Look for those teachable moments. Have a family devotional. When you have big decisions to make, pray about it together. And talk about what God, what would God want. But I want us to back up and read verses 4 and 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 6 to see the preface here. Notice what the commandment is. And Jesus even went back to this commandment and said, this is the greatest commandment in the law. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then he goes on to say, these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you teach them to your children. What's the most important thing for us to teach our children? I think without a shadow of a doubt, the most important thing we're to teach them is to love God. With all your heart. With every fiber of every facet of who you are. And I remember my father telling me that. He said, if I can teach you and help you to learn to love God, you're going to be okay. Because if you do, you're going to want to do what he says in his word. You're going to respect his word. You're going to want to know his word. You're going to want to be obedient if you know how much God loves you and you love God like that. How do we teach God's love? Well, we try to love our children the way God loves us. Now, we do that imperfectly. We don't always do that right. We mess up sometimes. But if we try our best to show our children what a father figure is, how does God represent himself in the Bible? As our heavenly Father. I believe that one of the reasons that some people have wrong ideas about God and what his character is like is because of misunderstandings that they have based on their idea of father. If a person's earthly father is always gone, distant, uninvolved in their lives, just kind of there, but not really a part of their lives, not really connecting with his children, then that person, when they hear that God is their heavenly father, may have that same attitude towards God. He's out there somewhere, he's off in the distance, maybe knows I'm here, but he's not really there, or at least he doesn't care that much. Or if there's a father that's just so harsh and critical, and that child can never do enough good things to ever please that father, and they never hear the words, I'm proud of you, or you did a good job from your father. And they may have the idea about God, I can never be good enough for God. He's always mad at me about something. Or maybe if a child has a father that's permissive and just lets a kid get away with anything, he's not going to respect what God has to say. And he thinks God's going to let everything slide too. And God's not like that. Let's decide that we're going to teach our children to love God by loving them in the best way we know how, the way God has loved us. I want to read the lyrics of another song as we close. This song also came out not long after my dad died. And I remember when the first time I heard it, it brought tears to my eyes. Because I was given a great treasure by what my father left for me. Listen to the words of this song. It's called The Greatest Gift. You can give your children houses. You can give them lands, the riches of your efforts and all your best laid plans. But of all that they inherit, of all that you could will, please include the unseen treasure of a life that God has filled. Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus. Someday the house will crumble and time will turn the land to dust. And when all accounts are empty, where will you invest their trust? But if the riches that you give them is the wisdom of His ways, then the wealth you leave your children will last through all their days. Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass Him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, it is such a privilege to come to you into your presence and call you Father. And Lord, for those of us here tonight who were blessed with godly Christian fathers, and though none of them were perfect, Lord, we thank you for those who loved you and passed faith on down to us and gave us the opportunity to see Christianity lived out in real life and pointed us to your Son Jesus, who shows us who you are in the flesh. Thank you for them, Father. Lord, those of us who are fathers today, we pray that you'll help us to be more like Jesus, that we will listen to your words, that we will take our responsibility as teachers, and that we will teach and train our children in your ways, and that we will show that to them in our lives. Father, forgive us for our failures, because we know that we're not up to the job. We've got to have your help. Forgive us for the things that we have failed to do, the things that we've done that we shouldn't, the times when we've been bad examples to our children, the times when we haven't shown them Jesus. Father, forgive us for that, and use us in spite of our weaknesses, and build faith in our children. And Father, I pray for those here tonight who did not have the example of a good Christian father. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help them, even though it may be more difficult for them to be those kind of fathers without having had those models in their own lives. Lord, please help them to look to other good Christian fathers that they can see, even in this room here tonight, and take examples from those who are leading and training their families to serve you, and give them strength and courage to know that they can truly be the fathers that you would have them to be. Lift them up, Father. Give them confidence. Give them courage. Help them to know when they are doing those good things that they need to, and encourage them in that. And Father, help us all to realize that we want more than anything else for our children to love you, so that they will be in heaven one day. We know that we can guide them toward an education, a career, all kinds of worldly things, but we know that the most important thing is to lead them to you, so that they can stand before you one day and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Help us as fathers to do the best that we can. And we thank you, Father, for your forgiveness that's found in Christ, and for being the ultimate perfect Father. We bring you this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.